Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You know, after the brutal October 7th, 2023 attack by Hamas, the Israeli Defense Force deluged Gaza with bombs, drawing on a database painstakingly compiled through the years. It detailed home addresses, tunnels, and other infrastructure critical to the militant group. So to maintain the war's breakneck pace, the IDF turned to an elaborate artificial intelligence tool called Hasbora, or the Gospel, which could quickly generate hundreds of additional targets. The use of AI to rapidly refill the IDF's target bank allowed the military to continue its campaign uninterrupted, according to two people familiar with the operation. It's an example of how the decade-long program to place advanced AI tools in the center of the IDF's intelligence operations has contributed to the violence of Israel's 14-month war in Gaza. So welcome to AI in warfare. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Does your family do much playing in the snow, Skip?
Well, no, not at all. Well, you know, for decades, Colonel, I have been struggling to make it through every single winter. Because up here in Michigan, it gets rough up here. I think it's like 19 degrees right now, which is about par. But I tell you, I'm not the kind of guy that can just embrace the cold and the frozen north. And it's not like you're not going to come over to my house today and see me outside making snow angels, if that answers your question.
That really was my question. Okay, so no, I don't have to come looking for that.
No snow angels here. None.
Okay, here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to talk about the danger our nation is now facing. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. General John Tykert will discuss leadership. Colonel Matt Lohmeyer will present the woke issues in our military that STARS is dealing with, and Gil and Skip will present The Border in a Book.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, China appears to have conducted the maiden flight of its new sixth-generation fighter aircraft, marking a significant milestone in the ever-evolving landscape of fighter jets. Video and photos from social media showed the previously unseen aircraft conducting a daytime test flight alongside a Chengdu J-20S fighter, which served as a chase plane. The planes were soaring high on December 26, which is notably the birthday of the founding father of the People's Republic of China, Mao Zedong. Photos and video of the tailless Chinese aircraft came as our nation continued to work on developing our next-generation air dominance fighter jet. The next-generation fighter jet is intended to replace the F-22 Raptor, a fifth-generation stealth combat aircraft that has been in service with our Air Force since the early 2000s. Fifth-generation aircraft incorporated stealth technology, with the sixth-generation aircraft promising further advancements.
This is one area where we're well behind China. We'd better catch up fast.
And recent intelligence reports have revealed a troubling connection between China and Yemen's Houthi rebels. The Houthis, backed by Iran, are using Chinese-made weapons to carry out attacks on shipping in the Red Sea. They have reportedly agreed not to target Chinese vessels. This alarming exchange began after Houthi leaders traveled to China in 2023 and 2024 to establish a direct supply chain for weapons and advanced technology. The weapons provided by China include advanced missile guidance systems and components. These items have enabled the Houthis to produce a large number of cruise missiles with the capability to strike oil-rich Persian Gulf states. These missiles could disrupt critical global energy supplies, heightening tensions across the Middle East and beyond.
It's reasonable that people will work together to achieve a common goal, and this applies to evil nations too. If we will totally take out the Houthis tactically, that will send a needed message to China too. I hope we'll do that.
And the Tren de Aragua gang is ramping up its attempts to breach the U.S.-Mexico border using mob tactics to overpower security forces. A recent attack at the El Paso crossing highlights the gang's aggressive strategy to infiltrate the U.S. before Trump takes office. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, some gang members launched an assault on a border gate recently, overwhelming agents. Additional crossings are expected. Victor Avila, a former Homeland Security agent, described the gang's actions as an existential threat to national security. Quote, "Their ideology is rooted in destruction, mirroring that of terrorist organizations," he said. Texas authorities have escalated defensive measures, deploying pepper balls and reinforcing National Guard units. An anonymous informant revealed the gang is targeting National Guard troops, capitalizing on moments when agents are unavailable to assist.
All this is logical. You strike your opponent when he's weak, not after he's begun to get strong again. Our nation has never been weaker than we are now. Fortunately, the turnaround day is getting closer, but the evil people still penetrating our nation aren't going to just go away.
And after taking heavy losses from Israeli forces, Hamas is now picking fights with the Palestinian Authority, called the PA, as its manpower continues to dwindle. Gaza-based Islamic terrorist organization Hamas and the PA, which governs much of the West Bank, have been ramping up fighting during December. The renewed fighting comes during a period of high losses and bloodshed, with Israeli authorities claiming to have killed over half of the terrorist group's total fighters since the start of the war, along with pressures to negotiate peace by an incoming Trump administration. The victor could determine who serves as the face of the Palestinian cause. The most recent fighting has centered around Jenin refugee camp, which has long been a center of anti-Israel activity in the West Bank.
There's a lesson to be learned here. If you don't want Israel to attack and beat you down, then don't attack Israel. Maybe the Hamas, Hezbollah, and other terrorist groups will figure that out. I hope so, but I doubt it.
And North Korean leader Kim Jong-un pledged to implement the toughest measures against the United States, delivering his remarks during a Workers' Party of Korea meeting just weeks ahead of Donald Trump's inauguration. Kim criticized the U.S.-led alliance with Japan and South Korea, calling it a nuclear military bloc for aggression. The official Korean Central News Agency reported that the party clarified its strategy for a robust anti-American response, though specific actions were not disclosed. The meeting reflected North Korea's increasing hostility toward the West, with Kim labeling the United States the most reactionary state committed to anti-communism. Analysts suggest these developments could further strain U.S.-North Korean relations, which soured after a brief period of engagement during Trump's first term.
Radical dictators like Kim have no desire to do anything except gain more power over more people. Doing good for the people isn't a consideration, and that's clear from history. Kim gets a lot of support from China, who like him to be a troublemaker, as Kim's actions take the world's eyes off of China's evil activities. I see no end to this.
And drug cartels in Mexico have become one of the largest employers in the country, with approximately 175,000 members. This grim reality underscores the urgent need for us to confront these organizations, which are responsible for drug-related deaths and violence that devastate American communities. A recent study revealed that cartels recruit over 350 individuals weekly to sustain their operations. Their influence extends beyond Mexico, with cartel-supplied drugs like fentanyl fueling an overdose epidemic here that claims over 100,000 lives annually. Trump has pledged to tackle this crisis head-on. Proposals include designating cartels as terrorist organizations and deploying military resources to dismantle their networks. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz has championed their efforts, emphasizing the need for a robust response to protect American lives.
Experts argue that enforcement alone will not be enough. Addressing the root causes of cartel recruitment, such as economic instability and corruption, will be critical to breaking their grip on power. A coordinated effort between us and Mexican authorities could help disrupt supply chains and reduce violence. I hope that can happen. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAfrontlines.com. That's CVAfrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with General John Tykert. At ease, troops, take a break. So
Suppose you are forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Look like sheep and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing, because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and your information and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess, with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com. That's universalcoin.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. President Biden and his team have made America a very dangerous and insecure place. Whatever Biden's goal was as president, what he did was to make our nation a much more dangerous place, and all the criminal gangs and nations that hate America know it. The cartels are here, the terrorist attacks have begun. One of the most forgotten things happening is the drones from an unknown source flying over our nation. Indeed, recent drone sightings across the East Coast have sparked fears as radiation levels in New York City rise sharply. The increased radiation readings have prompted local officials and experts to consider the possibility that these drones may be linked to a potential security threat. Radiation measures taken in the Bronx and Upper West Side show alarming levels of 1,048 counts per minute, well above the normal range of 5 to 60 counts per minute, and the safety limit for radiation exposure is 200, which makes the sudden rise especially concerning. Gordon Chang, a China expert and author who's been on this show, has suggested that drones may be involved in searching for nuclear weapons or other hazardous materials. He noted the radiation spikes were concentrated on both sides of the Hudson River, which could indicate a targeted search. Chang also criticized the federal government's failure to adequately address the situation, drawing comparisons to the Chinese spy balloon incident from a previous year. He argued that the Biden administration has not done enough to protect us from foreign threats, and he called for a more transparent response. Authorities in New Jersey have also reported missing radioactive materials, although they've downplayed the incident. Still, the timing of the missing materials and the rise in radiation has many questioning if the two events are connected. The ongoing mystery of the drones, combined with the growing radiation concerns, has left both residents and experts uneasy. As investigations continue, questions remain about the federal government's response with the potential risks facing the public. One thing's for sure, the drones are there because someone wants them there for some reason, and our government either doesn't know who's controlling them or are telling lies while pretending not to know. This is, at the very least, wild incompetence. And in addition to recent terrorist strikes here, a Venezuelan criminal organization previously concentrated in border states has established operations in North Dakota, heightening the nationwide impact of current immigration policies. West Fargo, North Dakota Police Chief Pete Nielsen reports suspected members of the Tren de Agua gang orchestrated sophisticated ATM thefts, resulting in $100,000 in losses from local banks. Authorities arrested Henry Thies, 25, in November after discovering stolen cash and burglary equipment during a traffic stop. Immigration reports show he entered through El Paso last year before traveling north. Despite a drunk driving arrest in Texas, Thies remained free to continue criminal activities, according to law enforcement sources. Chief Nielsen expressed frustration over limited federal support investigating the cross-jurisdictional crimes linked to the international gangs. Nielsen said he begged the federal government to help after Tren de Agua members came to his city, and they basically ignored him. Quote, being the police chief of this community, I think I should be looking to make sure that anybody that's committing any crime in the community is accountable for that action, he said. The department continues monitoring additional suspected gang members while awaiting increased federal assistance. Immigration authorities have filed paperwork seeking custody of Thies from the county detention facilities. Chief Nielsen indicated that his department would support strengthened enforcement under Trump's incoming administration. Quote, we would assist the federal government on anything that they needed us to do, the police chief said, referring to potential cooperation with removal operations. The case demonstrates how border security challenges directly impact communities nationwide, even in remote states far from international crossings. West Fargo's experiences brings the total number of states reporting the presence of criminal organizations to 17, underscoring its rapid expansion across America. Hey, if we have unidentified drones over much of our nation, perhaps related to an increase in radiation and the increased presence of at least one international criminal organization here, plus the terrorist strikes, who knows what else is going on that is truly bad for our nation? Certainly, these unbelievable negatives aren't the only evils our nation has welcomed under Biden-Harris. This seems a lot like treason to me. While I want President Trump to hit the ground running to begin the positive things he discussed when he ran for re-election, perhaps there also needs to be a criminal or treason investigations into most of those who were making and implementing the decisions for Biden. Needless to say, I'm really looking forward to January 20th. And those are my comments for today. Americans owe our freedom to the sacrifice and courage of our heroes in uniform. Did you know you can support our military, veterans, and first responders just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They put the cause ahead of profits, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to while giving back to our heroes. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support Folds of Honor, Tunnels to Towers, and lots more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. That's patriotmobile.com/frontlines. And get a free month of service when you use the offer code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Hey, what do you have to share this week, Roland?
Well, Colonel, retired Lieutenant General Herbert Temple Jr., who was the chief of the National Guard Bureau from 1986 to 1990, died on December 28th. He was 96 years old. Temple's tenure as the National Guard Bureau chief capped a 43-year career of military service, and he was instrumental in shaping today's National Guard. As the chief of the National Guard, Temple oversaw the component's growth to more than 555,000 soldiers and airmen, and expanded the engagement of the Guard's units to operations worldwide. Temple oversaw the Army National Guard brigades undergo regular large-scale training at the National Training Center in Fort Irwin, California, and he was the driving force behind the construction of the Army National Guard headquarters building in Arlington, Virginia. In fact, that building was renamed in his honor in 2017. Born in Los Angeles in February 1928, Temple graduated from Polytech High School in 1947 before enlisting in the California Army National Guard. He deployed to Korea in September 1950, and he served as a sergeant in Company B, the 5th Regimental Combat Team of the 24th Infantry Division, and he earned the Combat Infantry Badge. In 1952, he returned to California and received a direct commission as a second lieutenant in the 160th Infantry Regiment. As an officer, Temple served in a range of command and staff positions in the California Army National Guard before being assigned to the National Guard Bureau in 1975 as Chief of the Office of Mobilization and Readiness. And in 1978, he was named Deputy Director of the Army National Guard and then Director in 1982. After his tenure as the 21st National Guard Bureau Chief, Temple retired from the Army on February 1st, 1990, after over 43 years of service. You know, Temple was known as a trailblazer who set the National Guard on the path for its current success. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in National Guard that really appreciate the things that he did. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with General John Tykart. Then we'll talk with Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show retired Air Force General John Tykart. John, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate you.
Denny, every time I've been on your show, I've loved it, and I'm honored to be back.
Start by telling us about your time in uniform. When and why did you join? Why did you stay in? And a bit about what you served.
Denny, I grew up in the very northwest tip of the country. Port Angeles, Washington is the name of the town. I grew up in a family that was loving and patriotic, but I didn't quite know what I wanted to do with my life until in 1986, I went to our one theater town to watch Top Gun. And I decided then and there that that is what I wanted to do. And at that point, I just researched which service had the best planes. At the time, the F-15E Strike Eagle was coming out in the United States Air Force. And so I decided I wanted to be a fighter pilot. And then the rest from there is history. I went through ROTC at MIT. I met my wife. I took the oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And then I eventually got to go to pilot training and fly that F-15E Strike Eagle as a combat pilot. I went on to be a test pilot in the F-22. And then I really got to see something that I loved, which was leading people. And I had multiple opportunities to do that, including my last four assignments were the commander of Joint Base Andrews outside of Washington, D.C., the commander of Edwards Air Force Base in the Mojave Desert, where Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier in 1947, our nation's senior defense official in Iraq from May of 2020 until July of 2021, and then the leader of the Air Force and the Space Force's international affairs before I retired 2 years ago. And I loved every bit of the 28 years that I served our country in the United States Air Force.
That sounds awesome. And the thing that struck me the most about what you said is how much you enjoyed leading and being with people. And that's my major passion, too. Flying a desk never appealed to me. That doesn't mean you don't ever do it. But that was never my goal.
So, yeah, I understand what you're talking about. That makes real sense.
Denny, really the passion started when I showed up at college at MIT as a 17-year-old freshman and went into the ROTC building on campus and took my first oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And when I took that oath, I had a sense that that was a lifelong commitment, that there was no expiration date on that oath, no contingency clause or fine print or opt-out provision, that it was something that I meant for a lifetime. I happened to do it alongside of a particularly attractive ROTC cadet that now has been my wife for 27 years, who served with me in the Air Force and now is a chemistry professor as a civilian at the Naval Academy. And even though I'm out of the service now, I am pursuing opportunities to do two things. Number one, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, because it's a lifelong oath. But number two, to be the type of leader and to develop the type of leader that our nations need.
Well, what I really want us to talk about today, John, it's leadership. In my experience, leadership is rare. I mean, almost everybody has some form of leadership in them. But leaders want to do the right thing. The other end of that spectrum is managers who want to do things right. Well, yes, you want to do things right, but you got to do the right thing. The heavy managers are risk adverse. We need leaders who will put their reputation on the line, who will be willing to, whether it's advocating for or taking an organization into the right thing that they should be doing, or modifying things to do it the right way. That to me is something that I think is incredibly important, and I don't see a whole lot of it today.
Denny, I think you're right. And it goes back a little bit to the need in our society for moral courage. That means people at all levels, in all venues, in all positions that are willing to take risk to move things forward in the right way. And like you described, managers are just the type of people that keep the trains on the track, that they don't do anything different. They just try to get a little bit of marginal improvement out of the way things are going in their sphere of influence or realm of impact. But leaders require moral courage, because in order to truly make the leaps forward that our society and our people need, then it means taking risk. And unfortunately, we have a lot of managers who take marginal risk to make marginal improvements and don't really move society forward. And we've got a lot of those instead of the types of leaders that we need to truly see our country and our communities and our churches and our families move forward in a substantial way in a world that is exploding with change all around us.
Yes, sir. And we're about to have a president who I believe is an incredibly good leader, at least he was the last time. There's no reason to think he's changed. And there's going to be, I don't want our listeners, I don't want our citizens to think, well, now that we got a leader, we don't have to worry about it. Because we need leaders at every single level. And just in government, at school boards and city council and all that kind of stuff. And we, the citizens, it's our responsibility to get the right people in the right jobs, not to put it off to someone else. We need to find leaders, support leaders, to be as much a leader as we can be. And that's why I really want us to focus on leadership. Does that make sense to you?
Denny, it does. And the thing that struck me about what you just said is that your show is entitled Front Lines of Freedom. Well, the front lines of leadership is not the president of the United States, though extremely important. But the front lines for leadership are the deacons in our churches, or the members of the school board that are shaping the minds of the young people of our futures, or the small business owners. That's where we need, maybe because we see the type of leadership at the national level that we've been thirsting for, that should infuse us at the lower levels, at the frontline levels, with the type of moral courage to be the types of leaders that our nation and our communities and our churches and our families need, require, and are desperate to see in action. And it can only come through the type of leadership at every level that pervades our society.
And even, yeah, lots of people are not leaders, but you can support leaders. You can be there, you can stand behind them, or you can be a leader and just not have the time to support to do something, but you can somehow support the people who are acting like leaders, acknowledging they will occasionally make a wrong choice, and we still need to stand with them.
We do. And it also all means that just because your title doesn't include the word leadership in it, doesn't mean that you're not a leader or don't have a chance to make the influence or impact as a leader. You mentioned just a few moments ago about how leaders need to do something fundamentally different than the status quo. I'm working on a new definition of leadership that works for me. Maybe in our next show, I'll roll it out to your listeners. But one of the elements of leadership is creating a unique future, which means a future that wouldn't come about if we didn't have somebody with the moral courage to move things forward in a substantial way. And you can do that. All of your listeners have spheres of influence and realms of impact. And just because they don't have the title of a leader, maybe they do, it doesn't matter. People are watching them. There are people that they influence and impact. And because of that, every person can be a leader, but they must be willing to take risk, have moral courage, and focus on the betterment of our society and our communities and our organizations and the people that are therein.
You mean like parents leading their children or neighbors being out in the neighborhood, impacting the people around them with no title at all?
Denny, that's exactly right. Every parent is a leader. Every member of a neighborhood is a leader. I actually just came in to do this podcast from shoveling snow. It got dumped on here maybe 6 to 8 inches in Washington, D.C. a couple days ago. And I was out shoveling. And, you know, there's people that have snow blowers on our cul-de-sac. And they were out using those snow blowers to clean up not just their own yard or their own driveway, but to clear the sidewalks all around our cul-de-sac. That's leadership. They don't have a title. They don't have to do that. But they saw a need and they took the lead. And everybody who is listening within the sound of my voice has the opportunity to make an impact, even in seemingly small ways, by recognizing the needs around them and fulfilling the leadership role that would be absent or missing if they didn't take the lead in that particular situation.
Yes, sir. There's more to discuss about leadership, and John's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. They want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, I used to before I got to my mid-80s. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Veterans have a unique perspective on healthcare, foreign policy, and federal spending.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and the military community a chance to share that perspective and drive change that will make Americans safer and more prosperous.
Want to join the movement and the thousands of activists in our grassroots army? Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on the front lines of freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General John Tykert about leadership and its critical importance in our lives, in our nation, in our communities, in everything we do. And the ball rests with us, right?
Denny, it does. And I want to just share a quick story for your listeners that really struck me as a young lieutenant about the power of intentional good leaders. When I was a lieutenant in my first fighter squadron back in 1997, RAF Lakenheath in the United Kingdom, flying F-15E Strike Eagles, we had a squadron commander whose name was Junior Summonsby. He had a DO, Killer Quast, and they had a couple of flight commanders, Ludes Ludwig and Ozzie Nelson. And I remember as a young lieutenant, those four leaders that were probably ranging from their mid to late 20s to their mid 30s were intentional about developing the young people in the squadron, not just to be good Strike Eagle pilots and wizzos, but to develop us into the leaders that our nation needs. And it really stuck with me, the power of their intentional development of us. 20 years later, I was sitting in a room with all of the wing commanders in the United States Air Force. There's not a lot of us. I think about 250 total force, guard, reserve, and active duty. And I started looking around to see in that room who I knew. And I recognized that there were seven of us from 20 years prior, from the same squadron at the same time at RAF Lakenheath in the United Kingdom. And I thought back to Junior, Hiller, Ozzie, and Ludes. And their investment 20 years prior paid dividends 20 years in the future because they were intentional about developing the types of leaders that our Air Force and our nation needed. In fact, there was one additional wing commander that stemmed from that tenure. But that is an oversized impact of four guys that were intentional about infusing and developing and molding the leaders of the future. Every single person who's listening to you, Denny, can find somebody that they can mentor. Find a young guy or a young gal that is thirsting for the type of wisdom that you have to provide. And if you are intentional about developing them into the type of leader that our nation needs in the future, then you too, 20 years down the road, can have the type of impact that I felt from Junior, Killer, Ozzie, and Ludes.
You know, that's totally true of life. We're there and we need to be, one, role modeling good leadership. And that includes taking responsibility when we make a wrong decision and doing it in front of everybody so that they know how to act. If they don't see you doing it, then you're role modeling something else that we don't particularly need. But we need to recognize that we're role modeling. And then, as you're pointing out, when we see people with a desire or moving towards that kind of leadership, to encourage them, to mentor, whatever the circumstance it is, but to influence them, to support them, to encourage them. Wow. I mean, can you imagine what life would be like if everybody, heck, 10% of our country did that?
Denny, people are not just looking to see the type of leaders that they know that we need, but they're looking for somebody to invest in them. You know, you and I and everybody is really just the sum total of the people who have invested in us. We're kind of the sum total of what we read, what we listen to, what we watch, and who we spend time with. And if we can be one of those types of people that are deliberate with our time and generous with our time and our wisdom, to buy a cup of coffee for a young guy or gal and provide them a little bit of the wisdom that we have acquired along the way, that goes so far in creating the type of society that we need. You know, about once a week, maybe more than that, I'll get a text or an email or a Facebook message from somebody that says, hey, you probably don't remember me, but I was in one of your wings or one of your squadrons or one of your groups, and you did this for me, or you gave me this chance, or you gave me this nugget of wisdom. And now, just like Junior did for me, 20 years down the road, here's what I'm doing because of it. If we have this alumni network that carries a little bit of each of us with them into the future, then now we are being intentional, not just about grumbling about the current generation because they don't know what they're doing, but shaping this generation and the next so that they can create the type of society or maintain it that we are proud of, and especially when it comes to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. If you know a young guy or gal that's thinking about going into the service or is in the service, then the best way that you can continue to support and defend the Constitution of the United States as a retiree like me or Denny like you is to be intentional about investing in those that are fulfilling that oath now or in the future. So that way, that document and those principles can flourish in the future instead of wither in the future. Because if they wither in the future, Denny, in part, it's because your and my and others' lack of attention to developing those that come behind us.
And what you just said was because we weren't acting like leaders.
That's exactly right. We were just letting things go and marginally changing things and not intentionally helping people become the best possible version of themselves. And that means we're just being a worthless marginal manager instead of a sterling leader that our society, like I said before, is thirsting for.
You know, the other day I went to the VA for some health care and I got very good care. And I talked to one of the managers and I said, you know, I have a complaint. My complaint is that everybody knows we're supposed to gripe and complain and whine and moan about the VA, but I got good service there. So how can I do what I'm supposed to do? How can I gripe and complain when you guys give me good service?
I love the idea.
And we Americans are really good at griping and complaining and taking cheap shots, but we have to add to that the encouraging and supporting people that are doing or are trying to do the right thing.
Denny, I talk about how leadership is a spectrum of activities. And some of those items on that spectrum are super fun, like inspiration and encouragement. Some of them are just kind of marginal. Those are the equipping, challenging, and convicting. And some of them are no fun at all. That's the correcting. But you need to use the right tool in the right situation at the right time with the right person, sometimes inspiration, sometimes correction, or sometimes something in between, in order to be the type of leader that is helping the people around you become the best possible version of yourself. It doesn't mean that you're always complaining. It doesn't mean that you're always praising, though you should be maybe doing more praising than complaining. In fact, experts say maybe three times more as a leader, praising than complaining, to demonstrate or explain what right looks like instead of always lingering on what wrong looks like. And if we do that fine mix and utilize those tools, then now we can be intentional leaders that help people become the best possible version of themselves.
Indeed. I can remember on one occasion in Vietnam a lot of years ago when one of my young sergeants did something just plain stupid. And I sat him down and I bit his butt for doing it stupid. And then I talked to him about, what were you trying to do? How should you do it next time? And he left with a big smile on his face. And I don't have many specific recollections, but that's one. And I was felt rather proud of myself that I had, as a second lieutenant, I had gotten through to somebody like that.
Yeah, Denny, I think experts in leadership say that 80% of the time a subordinate falls short, it's because the leader has not given clear expectations or regular feedback. Now, it doesn't mean that people don't need correcting. They do at times. But when we do that correcting, maybe we should have a discussion in a way that helps that individual realize that we're correcting them to help them become the best possible version of themselves. And in those areas where we've fallen short and they fall short as a result, then we should be open and honest about our shortcomings as well.
John, we're about out of time. Give us a quick summary of your thoughts that everybody can take away from our talk today.
Denny, I love the nuance about the difference between bold, morally courageous leadership that moves things forward in a way that society needs, and the marginal managerial improvements that, while they might mine the store, don't actually move society forward. It takes courage, it takes boldness, it takes genuine care and concern for the people around us. And that's the maybe springboard that we can use when we have our discussion a month from now.
Thank you, John. Thank you for your really great comments. Thank you for your service to our nation. And thank you for being willing to come back again and we can continue to have this conversation on this show. Thank you, brother.
Denny, thank you. And thanks for your continued service to our nation in supporting and defending the Constitution of the United States through what you do in Front Lines of Freedom.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing our military wokeness with Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. Then Gil and Skip will present The Border in a Book. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for defense of your family or yourself and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you're going to need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code Frontlines. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troop, it's time for pull-ups, do 40 good ones, maybe 20 more push-ups. grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.